Hello, my name is Susie. I'm a college student who is being prompted by the Holy Spirit to share the gospel to unreached and unevangelized university students in East Asia. There are over 1.4 million people who make up the unreached people of this city that me and a team of seven other students from Second Mile Church will be going to this summer. There are many who have simply never heard of Jesus. God is opening the door for us to carry the message of the gospel to them. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So, will you go with me through financial support and prayer? If you would like to partner with me in sharing the gospel in East Asia, you can send your love offering by April 15th to Second Mile, P.O. Box 57417, Tucson, Arizona 85732. Again, that's addressed to Second Mile, P.O. Box 57417. 417, Tucson, Arizona, 85732. Now, please attach a note with my name, Susie, when sending your love offering. And thank you so much for your support.
Welcome to the Amber May Show. Thank you for tuning in today. It's a very special show. I have radio theater today. I'm going to take you back to show you what the true meaning of Easter is.
When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples,
"As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified."
Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and kill him. "But not during the feast," they said, "or there may be a riot among the people." 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with them. When Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with a fragrance of perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, was later to betray him, objected.
"Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages."
He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it.
"Leave her alone,"
Jesus replied.
"It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me."
Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill him, Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to see Jesus and putting their faith in him. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna!" Jesus said,
"This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself."
He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up.
"We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever."
"So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up?"
"Who is this Son of Man?"
"Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord."
"Blessed is the King of Israel."
"Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt."
Then Jesus told them,
"You're going to have the light just a little longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light."
When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked,
"What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?"
So they counted out for him 30 silver coins. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked,
"Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?"
He replied,
"Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.
So the disciples did as Jesus directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified,
I'm not referring to all of you. I know those who I have chosen. But this is to fulfill the scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. I tell you the truth. Whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me.
His disciples stared at one another at the loss to know which one of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to the disciple and asked,
Ask him which one he means.
Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him,
Lord, who is it?
Then they were very sad and began to say to him one after the other,
Surely not I, Lord.
Surely not I, Lord.
Surely not I, Lord.
Jesus answered,
It is the one whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish.
Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said,
Surely not I, Rabbi.
Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus answered,
Yes, it is you. What you are about to do, do quickly.
Jesus told him. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him.
The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him that he had not been born.
Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast, or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. When he had gone, Jesus said,
Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I will tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. And a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another.
Simon Peter asked him,
Lord, where are you going?
Jesus replied,
Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later.
Peter asked,
Why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you.
Then Jesus answered,
Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times.
And while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying,
Take and eat. This is my body.
Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to him, saying,
Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom.
When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request.
Sir,
they said,
we would like to see Jesus.
Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied,
The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name.
A voice came from heaven.
I have glorified it and will glorify it again.
The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them,
Sit here while I go over there and pray.
He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them,
My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.
Going a little bit further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed,
My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.
He returned to his disciples and found them sleeping.
Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?
He asked Peter.
Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak.
He went away a second time and prayed.
My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done.
When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them,
Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer.
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer has arranged a signal with them.
The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him.
Going at once to Jesus, Judas said,
Greetings, Rabbi.
And kissed him. Jesus replied, Do what you came for. The men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. Without, one of Jesus' companions reached for a sword, drew it, struck it out, and the servant of the high priest cutting off his ear.
Put your sword back in its place,
Jesus said to him.
For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that I say it must happen in this way?
At that time, Jesus said to the crowd,
Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled.
Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared,
This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.
Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus,
Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?
But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God.
Yes, it is as you say.
Jesus replied,
But I say to all of you, in the future, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven.
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said,
He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?
Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said,
Prophesy to us, Christ. Who hit you?
Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because the disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the girl on duty there, and brought Peter in.
You are not one of his disciples, are you?
The girl at the door asked Peter. He replied,
I am not.
It was cold, and the servants and the officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm, Peter also standing with them, warming himself. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teachings.
I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues or at the temple, where all the Jews come together. I say nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said.
When Jesus said this, one of the rabbis struck him in the face. Is this the way you answer the high priest? He demanded.
If I said something wrong,
Jesus replied,
wrong testifies what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me?
Then Annas sent him, still bound, to Caiaphas the high priest. As Simon Peter stood warming himself, he was asked,
"You are not one of his disciples, are you?"
He denied it, saying,
"I am not."
One of the high priest's servants, a relative of a man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him.
"Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?"
Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them,
"I don't know the man."
Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken.
"I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times."
And he went outside and wept bitterly. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders.
"I have sinned,"
he said,
"for I have betrayed innocent blood."
"What is that to us?"
"That's your responsibility,"
they replied. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hung himself. The chief priest picked up the coins and said,
"It's against the law to put this into the treasury, since it's blood money."
So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for the foreigners. That is why it has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled.
"They took the 30 silver coins, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me."
Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the place of the Roman governor. But now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked,
"What charges are you bringing against this man?"
"If he were not a criminal,"
they replied,
"we would have not handed him over to you."
Pilate said,
"Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law."
"But we have no right to execute anyone,"
the Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating that the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
"Is that your own idea, or did others talk to you about me?"
Jesus asked.
"Am I a Jew?"
Pilate replied.
"It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?"
Jesus said,
"My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews, but now my kingdom is from another place."
"You are a king,"
said Pilate. But Jesus answered,
"You are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me."
Jesus replied, "When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him,
"Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?"
But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At the time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them,
"Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?"
For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message.
"Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him."
But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and have Jesus executed.
"Which of the two do you want me to release to you?"
asked the governor. They answered,
"Barabbas!"
"What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?"
Pilate asked. They answered,
Crucify him!
"Why? What crime has he committed?"
asked Pilate. And they shouted louder,
"Crucify him!
Crucify him!
Crucify him!
Crucify him!"
When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd.
"I am innocent of this man's blood.
It is your responsibility.
But he said, all the people answered,
let his blood be on us and our children.
Then they released Barabbas to him. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying,
Hail, King of the Jews!
And they struck him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews,
Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him.
When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them,
Here is the man.
As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted,
Crucify him!
Crucify!
Crucify! Crucify!
But Pilate answered,
You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him.
The Jews insisted.
According to the law, he must die.
Because he claimed to be the Son of God.
When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting,
If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar.
Shall I crucify your king?
We have no king but Caesar.
So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to a place of the skulls, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him, and with two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read the sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate,
Do not write King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews.
Pilate answered,
What I have written, I have written.
When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom.
Let's not tear it,
they said to one another.
Let's decide by lot who will get it.
This happened that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which said,
They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing.
Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother,
Dear woman, here is your son.
And to the disciple,
Here is your mother.
From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him.
He saved others, but he can't save himself. He is the King of Israel.
Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him.
You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself.
He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, I am the Son of God.
In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came all over the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,
which means,
My God, my God! Why have you forsaken me?
When some of those standing there heard this, they said,
Look, he's calling Elijah.
Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said,
I am thirsty.
A jar of wine and vinegar was there, and they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on the stalk of a hyssop plant, and lifted it up to Jesus' lips. Jesus said,
It is finished.
With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be special Sabbath. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the leg of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, and suddenly, a flow of blood and water. These things happened so that the scriptures would be fulfilled.
Not one of his bones will be broken.
They will look on the one they have pierced.
Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jews, with Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate.
Sir, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, "After 3 days, I will rise again."
So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first.
Take a guard. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how.
So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running into Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said,
"They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him."
So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, and the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen laying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linens. Finally, the other disciples, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scriptures that Jesus had risen from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their home, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said. "I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus.
"Mary,
why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said,
"Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him. I will get him."
Jesus said to her,
"Mary."
She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said,
"Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to my Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God."
Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news,
"I have seen the Lord!"
And she had told him that he had said these things to her. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. When it comes to finding a mate, we all have certain qualities that we're looking for. One of the qualities that I was looking for in my husband was his values. I wanted to make sure my husband loved God and based his values on the Bible. But yours may be different, and when finding a mate, Perfect Match analyzes the whole person. They evaluate everyone's personalities, values, ideals, life, and love styles. PerfectMatch.com/Amber are the only online dating system to offer the Duet Compatibility System. To help you find your mate and the qualities you are looking for, use PerfectMatch.com/Amber, and when you do so, you'll receive 2 months with the purchase of 2 months. So check out PerfectMatch.com/Amber today.